Well, everyone is talking about it. The president is talking about it. Saddam Hussein is talking about it. Top generals and military officials, civilian and military otherwise, they're talking about it. Senators and the defense secretary on the Sunday news programs, everyone is talking about the war. You go to work, people talk about what they saw on CNN or Fox News or one of the other cable news channels that is carrying the war 24/7. This morning, I was on the CNN website, and as I do every morning, what did I do? I clicked on their link for a live camera shot of Baghdad. I blew it up to full screen, and I just sat there and did my work with Baghdad rumbling in the background as my live video feed from halfway across the world came to me in my computer so I could keep updated up to the minute in case there was any aerial bombardment, tracer fire. I was looking for it all, but I was going about my business. It's become the background. In the few days that the war has gone on here, it has become the background of our lives and the subtext of much of what we think about and talk about. So if everyone's talking about it, were you disappointed if you went to church yesterday and your pastor from the pulpit during his sermon, his message, his homily, whatever they're calling it nowadays, didn't talk about the war? Or maybe he did, and you thought, good, now my pastor's weighed in on the war too. What did you hear yesterday from the pulpit in the first Sunday of this war? It's open lines during this hour of issues, etc. That's a question for you. I'd like your answer to it. Did your pastor mention the war in passing? I'm not talking about prayers. I'm assuming that most churches that had kind of a general prayer or a public prayer made some mention of the war, our troops, our leaders, our enemies. I'm assuming that. I'm talking about in the sermon, in the message. Was the war mentioned? If so, how was it the subject? Did the pastor shove aside what he was going to talk about and talk about the war? It's top of mind. It's current. Some would say it's the most relevant topic today. Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. I'd like your answer to that question. Did you hear about the war in church yesterday from your pastor? If you didn't, were you disappointed? What did he have to say? I've got a sermon to share with you. It's not mine. It was preached yesterday. It's even dated March 23rd, 2003. It came across my desk. I'll share the substance of it with you and ask for your reaction as well. It's open lines during this hour. In the third hour of the program, Brian Gadawa joins us. We'll talk about the 75th Annual Academy Awards. Who won? Who lost? And what did the winners say when they won? Brian Gadawa is author of the book Hollywood Worldviews, Watching Films with Wisdom and Discernment. During that hour, I'll give away to the best callers two copies of his book called Hollywood Worldviews. And during this hour, to the best caller, I would like to give away this book called God's No and God's Yes, The Proper Distinction Between Law and Gospel. It's a handy little book and very important. Very important for those who preach and especially for those who hear preaching on Sundays. Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Before I get to that sermon, and I will hear in just a second, a few headlines that seem to go along with this subject. In the LA Times from the weekend, in the religion section, religious leaders speak out on the war. Prayers go out for civilians and for the U.S. troops in Iraq, but some from various denominations oppose Bush's actions. There are the recorded words here of Cardinal Roger Mahoney of Los Angeles, Ishmar Shorsh, Chancellor of the Jewish Theological Seminary in New York, the Right Reverend J. John Bruno, he's the Episcopal Bishop of Los Angeles, Jack Graham, President of the Southern Baptist Convention, he has a few words too, and the Council on American-Islamic Relations in Washington, as well as the Archbishop Demetrius of the Greek Orthodox Church in America. And the list goes on. Everyone seems to be speaking out for or against the war. Preachers, this is according to the Minneapolis Star Tribune, also coming from this weekend. In fact, this is from yesterday, yes, Sunday, The Minneapolis Star Tribune, preachers find war on their minds and in their hearts this weekend. I'll read briefly from this one for you. As she prepared her sermon that she would deliver at Beit Shalom Congregation in Minnetonka Friday, Rabbi Aaron Polansky admitted she was torn. A native of Toronto, Polansky knows her home country does not support the war in Iraq. While Judaism teaches peace, it also talks about laws governing commanded wars and discretionary wars, and the war in Iraq doesn't seem to fit either category, she said. I'm hoping that it will be comforting to the congregation to hear that even rabbis don't have all the answers. She's not alone. This weekend, many clergy members around the Twin Cities have struggled in their search for words and answers to their congregations, desperately wanting to know and hear regarding a war some regard as necessary, others regard as immoral, but all know is very real. Quote, most pastors want to be sensitive to the realities that there are two sides to the issue and lots of feelings out there among the people, said the Reverend Paul Jarosky, pastor of St. Cecilia Catholic Church in St. Paul. Many pastors perhaps laid aside the sermon they had planned to preach, and when war broke out said, I think I'll talk about the war on Sunday. Did yours? What did he have to say if he did? If he didn't talk about the war, are you disappointed? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And there's research out from last Wednesday from the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press. Different faiths, different messages. Americans hearing about Iraq from the pulpit, but religious faith not defining options. I have some of that for you in just a minute. Here's this sermon that came across my desk. I'm not going to say where it came from or who preached it. That is irrelevant. The sermon begins by citing the time in Iraq and saying this, the war there continues. No one knows how much longer it will last. No one knows how many more lives will be lost. No one knows for sure how things in Iraq will be when the war is over. We all have an opinion about it, and I'm sure that all of our opinions are not the same. But what is God's opinion? What do you think God thinks about it? Is God for war or against it? If you think God is for war, what do you do with the words of Jesus like, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God? And other words of Jesus are cited throughout this sermon, mentions of Jesus here. The sermon continues, the Bible makes clear that God is for life, not death, for peace, not strife. So, generally speaking, he is against war. But God is also against evil. And the problem is, sometimes the only way to get rid of evil is with war. In the Old Testament, God led his people into war. It was not because God hated the people the Israelites fought against. It was not even that God did not love the people that the Israelites fought against. But God did hate the evil that these people practiced. And he felt the need to eradicate it. But what about today? What about this war? This war between the coalition of the willing and Iraq. What does God think about it? Then the pastor who preached this sermon goes on to make several points. And these are good points. I mean, follow along here. He says, first of all, the Bible doesn't talk about this war with Iraq. And he dispels the notion that we can somehow find this war in the Bible and determine its rightness or its wrongness, or its purpose, or its meaning, from deciphering biblical prophecy. He's right there. That's a good point to make. Secondly, he says, don't get the idea that this war is between Christians and Muslims, or between God and Allah. There may be a few Muslims who believe that, but there may be a few Christians who believe that, but that is not what this war is all about, not at all. And that's another good point. That's right. In fact, I noticed today that Tariq Aziz, who is the deputy prime minister for Iraq, I did not know this. He is a Catholic. Did you know this? He is not a Roman Catholic. He is there's a different brand of Catholicism. I assumed he was a Muslim. He is, at least by his profession, a Christian. Okay, so that's a good second point in this sermon. The pastor goes on, thirdly, when God looks down on planet Earth, he does not see a map outlining various countries or nations. So please do not think that the United States is his favorite nation. And this is a point I've made many times. This is a good, valid point that America does not enjoy most favored nation status with God. God does not have a favorite nation. He's not for one nation against another. And those are all good points. The sermon then goes on to cite St. Augustine and just war theory, and it explains just war theory in kind of a basic outline. And then it also goes on to explain, that's right, he's a Coptic Christian, I believe, says a caller. He was referred to by CNN as some type of Catholic, and it wasn't Coptic. I would have remembered that one, but very likely, given the Oriental origins there, he may be Coptic. But the sermon goes on to say that that Augustine had a just war theory, and then it goes on to explain Luther's distinction between the right-hand kingdom and the left-hand kingdom, between God's government of power, by which he rules with the sword, with reason and force, through governing agencies that he appoints, and the right-hand kingdom, in which God rules through grace, through the word of God, through the means of grace, baptism, absolution, the Lord's Supper, where the goal is not to coerce obedience, but to bring the forgiveness Christ won at the cross. A good distinction to make. All good distinctions. And then the sermon says, the war with the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh, as Martin Luther liked to call it, is a war in the kingdom of the right. That is, in God's kingdom of grace. The war with Iraq is a war in the kingdom of the left. Okay, these are all good points. Then the preacher of this sermon goes on to quote none other than Bill Bennett, the devout Roman Catholic, who believes that we can fight this war in good conscience. He then quotes Charles Colson, a Protestant. He quotes a few other Protestants. He quotes from Solomon in Ecclesiastes, there's a time for everything and a season, and every season for every activity under heaven, a time for war and a time for peace. He's made good points up to this point. He's been talking about the war. He's been talking about just war, about the distinction between the right and the left-hand kingdom. He's acknowledged that people have different opinions. He's made some very good points in this sermon. And then, remarkably, the sermon is over. It ends with this paragraph. And I'm curious to know from you whether or not you heard a sermon something like this, if it dealt with the topic of the war. It ends with this paragraph. Remember, this war is taking place in the kingdom of the left. For those of us who are part of the kingdom of the right, there is a peace that passes all understanding that is ours in Christ. Because of him, we have peace with God. In closing, I say to you what Paul said to the Thessalonians, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. Amen. That's the end of the sermon. Do you notice something missing here? All the points that are made here are valid, are true. I can't for the life of me find a reason to disagree with anything that was said in this sermon about the war. But does it strike you that something went unsaid? Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. The best callers during this hour of Open Lines will receive a free copy of God's No and God's Yes, The Proper Distinction Between Law and Gospel. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Did your pastor preach about the war yesterday in church? And if he didn't, were you disappointed? If he did, what did he have to say? How was the issue of war discussed in the sermon? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And as usual, we can talk about anything during Open Lines that you'd like to discuss. And when I ask for your what you heard in sermon, you don't have to give me your church's name or your pastor's address. Please don't. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And as I promised, I'll get to some of this research from the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press having to do with different faiths and about how Americans are hearing about Iraq from the pulpit, but that religious faith is not defining options. Let's go to the phones. Car phone callers get top priority. Calling from his car, John is on the line. John, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello, thank you.
Yes.
To answer your question, did we not hear the law in that, any law in that sermon? I heard the gospel in the last paragraph. Is that what you're looking for?
Well, you know, Where did you hear the gospel in the last paragraph? I'm curious. Let me read it to you again.
Would you read it again?
Yeah, I'll read it to you again and for everybody. And we'll see whether how we can answer your question here. Last paragraph of this sermon. Again, I'm not going to say where it came from, but it was about the war, and it made some very valid points about war, about the two kingdoms, about just war. Remember, this war is taking place in the kingdom of the left. For those of us who are in the part of the kingdom of the right, there is a peace that passes all understanding that is ours in Christ. Because of him, we have peace with God. In closing, I say to you what Paul said to the Thessalonians, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. Now, did you say you heard the gospel in the last paragraph? Where was it?
Well, I guess it's assuming I didn't hear Jesus, but...
Well, there's Christ is mentioned in there.
Okay. Peace, forgiveness. I guess perhaps we didn't hear the forgiveness of our sins. We heard peace.
Well, and now that's true. And someone will say peace with God, of course, is the forgiveness of sins. But, you know, it strikes me there's something missing here. Now, you asked about the law. You're saying you didn't hear any explicit law in the sermon. I didn't read the whole thing, by the way, but I don't think I left out anything significant.
Yeah, I heard a lot of facts, and maybe I wasn't listening well enough. But that's up to you to, I guess, decide whether I'm on or right.
All right, John, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. John has got us off, I think, on the right foot. John is listening for a proclamation of the law. That is God's requirements of us, in essence, the Ten Commandments, however they apply from any given text of Scripture that a pastor's preaching on. Now, here's part of a problem. When you're not preaching on a text of Scripture, but you're preaching on the war, of course, there is a text listed here. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time for war and a time for peace. That is ostensibly the text of the sermon. As I presented the sermon here, and I don't think I left anything significant out, John points out there's no clear proclamation of the law. My question for him was, even in that last paragraph that I did read in full, was there any gospel? Talks about peace with God through Christ, a peace that passes all understanding. Does that qualify as the gospel? This is a good illustration of how, and the reason I'm asking the question is because there's very little in this sermon that it does say that I would disagree with. But I am quite curious and a little concerned about what it doesn't say. Now, think about it this way for just a second, folks. This is a sermon that's laying out basically the case for this war being generally a good thing. Not that war is a good thing, but this war is not an unjust or unwarranted thing. It is saying that God allows for a time of war, as he also allows for a time of peace. And it makes all the right theological distinctions. Had it been a sermon, had I shared with you a sermon that was trying to make the case against this war from a biblical perspective, and it ended precisely the same way, general discussion of peace that we have with Christ, kind of wishing everyone peace, and it was rather than being for, it was actually against the war, would the same thing still be missing that I think is missing from this sermon? Did you hear about the war in the sermon yesterday? What did your pastor have to say? Give me a call, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Were you expecting to hear about the war but didn't and were a little disappointed? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Tomorrow on the program, Self-Help or God's Word? Ted Kober, author of our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for March, called Confession and Forgiveness, will be our guest. This is a book that is a must-read resource for the Christian family, for the congregation. You have a conflict with someone in your family? We're so much talking about international conflict today. Maybe the conflicts that trouble us more often on a day-to-day basis are the conflicts within our families. Someone in the congregation that you've been holding a grudge against, you haven't talked to them. You're cordial, you're civil, but you wouldn't spend any time with them if you had a choice. Our new Issues Etc. book of the month for March is the book for you. It's called Confession and Forgiveness. It's written by Ted Kober of Peacemaker Ministries. You can have the book for your very own by calling its publisher, Concordia Publishing House, during regular business hours. It's another half hour here at 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. You can also order the book online any time of day or night by going to our Issues Etc. website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section, and there you will find information on our Issues Etc. book of the month for March, Confession and Forgiveness. When you write or when you call 1-800-325-3040, ask for the Issues Etc. book of the month for March, Confession and Forgiveness. Let's go back to the phones. Jim is calling from St. Louis. Jim, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hello. Our pastor did not talk about the war. And in a way, I'm sort of glad. I'm somewhat relieved because I was expecting her to be somewhat hawkish on the subject. And since the lectionary, which I think is common in many Christian churches, dealt with the just anger issue, I think it could easily have gone off into that subject.
Yeah, I think the reading you're making reference to in the common lectionary, which is the system of readings that many churches use. Through the course of the church year, did it have to do with Jesus going into the temple and making the braid, the cord of whips, or the
right.
whips of cords?
Right, the cleansing of the temple.
All right. So she did not mention the war in the pulpit. Were you a little disappointed?
No, as I say, actually, I was kind of relieved because I know it's a somewhat divisive issue among people, and I'm kind of glad that she focused on. Maybe I was a little disappointed. I don't know. I have some friends who are very, very much convinced that this is not the right approach to take. And sometimes it can be almost difficult to talk to them because what concerns me is that being such an open belligerent is not the role that the country sees itself as taking. A student of history could argue that, well, the Maine wasn't really shut down by the Spanish, and we sort of made all that up, but at least we tried to keep up a pretense of not being the people to start the war.
Well, Jim, I got to let you go because we're running up here against a break, but I thank you very much for calling. Jim did not hear about the war, admits to a bit of disappointment here, but Jim's main concern seems to be, and I hope I don't misrepresent him here, that this is a contentious issue. This is an issue upon which people of goodwill disagree and disagree vehemently, right? There's no doubt about that. People hold very strong opinions on either side of this issue. But is that the reason, perhaps, that that it's a controversial issue? Is that the reason if you didn't hear your pastor talk about the war and you say, well, we shouldn't have heard about the war, is that the reason? Because it's a controversial issue? It's Open Lines. When we come back, 25 more minutes of Open Lines, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Martin Luther once wrote, "When I tell you to go to confession, I am simply telling you to be a Christian." What did Luther mean? How can a confession of sins also be a profession of faith? If you're looking for a practical resource on confession and forgiveness, we have a new Issues Etc. book of the month for March called Confession and Forgiveness. It's by Ted Kober of Peacemaker Ministries. You can order the book from the publisher, Concordia Publishing House, weekdays during regular business hours at 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Now, when you call, be sure to ask for the Issues Etc. book of the month for March, Confession and Forgiveness. The book costs only $9.99. You can also order online at our website, issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find information on ordering this book, issuesetc.org.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Bob Dittmer. On Capitol Hill, another indication that liberal Democrats are playing political hardball with President Bush's judicial nominees. Both senators from Michigan are trying to block the president's selections by issuing negative blue slips. David Brody tells us what those are.
Blue slips are a Senate custom. Senators from the nominee's state submit them to the Judiciary Committee, indicating their approval or disapproval of the selection. The president has submitted four nominees from the state of Michigan, and liberal Senators Carl Levin and Debbie Stabenow have issued negative blue slips on all of them.
It's a matter of politics, and I think that the American people ought to be outraged about this.
John Novotsky with the Free Congress Foundation says those senators just don't want any conservative nominees on the federal courts.
It has nothing to do with the qualifications or even any controversy about the nominees that are being blocked, because there is no controversy about these nominees.
But these nominations could be dead now because both Republicans and Democrats agree that if you don't have the support of your senators, the road to confirmation becomes extremely hard. There is hope, however, and it comes in the form of Judiciary Committee Chairman Orrin Hatch.
It is now up to Hatch whether or not he's actually going to honor those blue slips.
Kay Daly is with the Coalition for a Fair Judiciary.
If Chairman Hatch decides that these folks are just being obstructionist and petty, there is no binding obligation to honor blue slips.
Calls to Senator Hatch's office were not returned, but in the past, he's been on record saying this ancient customary blue slip system needs to be reworked. And in a political climate that has gotten so partisan, that might be best for everyone involved. For Family News and Focus, I'm David Brody in Washington.
When President Bush took office, the Michigan senators asked him to renominate two of President Clinton's nominees from Michigan. Bush refused, and that seems to be why they're blocking his current nominees. For Family News in Focus, I'm Bob Dittmer.
Pick up a free tree sapling in honor of Missouri Arbor Day, Friday, April 4th, from 9 to 5 at the Missouri Botanical Garden, 4344 Shaw Boulevard in St. Louis. The Kemper Center for Home Gardening will give away 300 ornamental tree and shrub saplings on a first-come, first-served basis to Arbor Day visitors. Don't forget, that's Friday, April 4th from 9 to 5 at the Missouri Botanical Garden. For more information, call the Missouri Botanical Garden.
How can confession and absolution help resolve conflict in the church? Find out with the new book, Confession and Forgiveness, published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Confession and Forgiveness is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, 1-800-325-3040. You can find out more about this book on the Internet at issuesetc.org and click What's New? Confession and Forgiveness, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March.
I mentioned a few minutes ago we were going to be talking with Ted Kober, author of our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March called Confession and Forgiveness, about self-help or God's Word tomorrow on the program. Tomorrow we'll also be talking with Pastor Mark Kares, author of the book Speaking the Truth in Love to Mormons, and answer the question, are Mormons Christian? That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. It's open lines. Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Stay tuned for the third hour of the program. Brian Godawa will join us, Hollywood screenwriter of the book, an adaptation of a book to film. The film is called To End All Wars, and author of the book Hollywood Worldviews. We'll be talking about the 75th Annual Academy Awards. The Oscars were last night. Who won and what did they say? With Brian Godawa in the third hour of the program, we'll be giving away a couple copies of his book, Hollywood Worldviews, to the best callers during that hour. It's open lines, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. What did you hear from the pulpit yesterday regarding the war, if anything? We've had a couple callers get the ball rolling. One person said, didn't hear anything. Didn't expect his priest to mention anything, was a little wary of the fact that she might, because I think he said a she, is a bit hawkish on the issue of war. But he said, this is a contested issue. But he did admit to a little disappointment that she didn't mention the war. It was the first Sunday of the war. Were you disappointed if your pastor in the sermon didn't mention the war? Mine didn't, not to my recollection. He did talk about Mizzou. He talked about Mizzou. What was it, a game in which they were far behind? And then came back to hold the other team to a mere 3 points and lose by only 2 points. That was part of his sermon illustration. He talked about the halftime talk, winners and losers, but I don't remember him mentioning the war except in the prayers. I wonder if anyone walked up to a Master Word pastor and said, "Pastor, you know, you really missed an opportunity to talk about the most relevant issue on the minds of everyone here, and that's the war." Do you think your pastor should have been talking about the war? I shared with you a bit of this sermon that came across my desk yesterday, that was preached yesterday at a local congregation. It makes some good points about the fact that this is not a war that is dealt with in biblical prophecy. That's true. That it is not a war between Christians and Muslims. That's true. It makes another point that God does not consider America to have most favored nation status. That's true as well. It lays out the basics of just war theory and the distinction between the right and the left-hand kingdoms, that Reformation distinction of God's rule of power and his rule of grace. It quotes from Chuck Colson and from Bill Bennett as well. And then it ends in this way: "Remember, this war is taking place in the kingdom of the left. For those of us who are part of the kingdom of the right, there is a peace which passes all understanding that is ours in Christ. Because of him we have peace with God. In closing, I say to you what Paul said to the Thessalonians: May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way." And that's the end of the sermon. Nothing in there that was said that I could disagree with, but I am a bit concerned about what was left unsaid in that sermon. What about you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. This is research out last Wednesday from the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press. Very reputable research group. Different faiths, different messages. Americans hearing about Iraq from the pulpit, but religious faith not defining options. On religion and war, when asked whether or not their clergy spoke about the war recently, now this came out last week on the eve of the war, 57% of those who were nationally surveyed said yes, their clergy had spoken about the war from the pulpit. When asked what influenced their thinking, that is, the parishioners' thinking about the war, 41% said the media, followed by a smattering of other things. 10%, only 10% of those who were surveyed, said that their religious beliefs had anything to do with their position on the war. When asked whether or not religious leaders have said too much, 15% said that they had. Whether or not religious leaders had said too little about the war, 32% said that they had. When asked whether or not religious leaders had said just the right amount about the war, 34% said that their religious leaders, their clergy, had said just the right amount, had said just enough about the war. Apparently, according to the Pew Research Center here, those who are against the war want their religious leaders, their clergy, to speak out. For those who are against the war, 42% of those who oppose the war said that their religious leaders haven't said enough about the war. Maybe you're one of those. Maybe you were expecting to hear about the war during church yesterday in the sermon. Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. There is some breaking with regard to whether or not you are a Protestant, an evangelical, a Catholic on these issues, but not much. Evangelical Protestants, when asked whether or not their clergy had talked about the war, 57% said yes. Mainline Protestants said 52% of them said that their clergy had talked about the war from the pulpit. Catholics, 60% said that their clergy had talked about it. Catholics are leading the way here. That's just some of the research from the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press on clergy speaking out for, against. Maybe your pastor wasn't talking about for or against. Maybe he was simply discussing the issue of war. Did the sermon begin this way yesterday? Folks, I was going to preach on X, Y, or Z. But war began this weekend, and I feel impelled as your pastor, your shepherd, those who have the one who has charge over your souls, to address this timely and relevant issue of the war. After September 11th, I imagine virtually every sermon was rewritten late in the week, if it had been written at all early in the week, for the coming weekend after September 11th, to at least include something about that national tragedy, the terrorist attacks. Did your pastor rewrite his sermon to talk about the war? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If you've been listening, what was missing from this sermon that made all these good points about just war, the two-kingdom theory, about how the Bible does not talk about this war, about this is not a war between Christians and Muslims? The sermon also talked about how God doesn't hold America as a most favored nation. Made all these good points, quoted Chuck Colson, quoted Bill Bennett, but then stopped. The sermon was over. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Dale is calling from St. Louis. Dale, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
I kind of disagree with the point that was made in the sermon. I do really kind of believe that this is part of the overall conflict between Islam and Christianity. And I say that because the roots of the war in Iraq have been the terrorists. And if you listen to the Islamic fundamentalists that are really behind the terrorism, you know, it's part of the jihad, I would call it, where they say, we don't want your culture. You're influencing us too much. We need to push you back. And I think that this has kind of been a general thing.
Dale, were you in church yesterday?
Yes, I was.
Did your pastor talk about the war in the sermon?
No, he didn't.
He didn't. Were you disappointed or have any thoughts on that?
I was kind of glad that he didn't, because our pastor preaches very good sermons, and I get a lot out of them. And I think I came away with more for myself with him not talking about the war.
Dale, thank you very much for the call. Now, Dale does take issue with something of the sermon that I shared with you just a few minutes ago, and that's fine. I mean, we can take issue with whether or not this is between Christians and Muslims. I think it's a good point to point out, if you're going to talk about the war, that this is not, strictly speaking, Christians versus Muslims. Is there an element of that in this? Yes, of course. Does Islam play into all of the factors that are boiling under the surface with regard to this war? Of course it does. Saddam Hussein proved it last night when he made his speech, and he used all of the right terminology. It was a very religious speech. It was couched in very deeply in Islamic terms. I think it's a sham, but he's still using the language, all right? So we can debate about that, but the question I have has to do with whether or not your pastor talked about the war from the pulpit. See, Saddam Hussein talked about Allah from the podium. He was making a political speech and he talked about Allah. Did your pastor, in delivering a sermon, talk about the war? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Jeff is calling from Illinois. Jeff, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Very good. Listen, I did preach yesterday, but I didn't touch on the war as the fighting. I touched on the war, how it captivates us, and how Exodus text talks about how we're captivated by sin. And so that was the illustration, using the war itself as an illustration.
Now, so that's something different than I think I'm asking about, using the war as an illustration, a timely illustration, if you will.
Right.
But the subject of your sermon, if I had to say, what was your sermon about?
That we're captivated by sin and only saved and rescued from God, by God's grace and mercy in Christ.
Thank you very much, Jeff. I appreciate it. Okay, so a pastor calls in, Pastor Nert. Says, for those who may recognize his voice, pastor says, I preached, I mentioned the war by way of illustration. of a bigger point that I had. Are there bigger points to make than the war? Obviously, it's relevant in the mind of many people. It's timely. There's no doubt about that. I mean, there's probably no more timely topic. I read a lot of newspapers every day in preparation for this program, and so I get to survey the headlines ad nauseum. And when you read one newspaper, sometimes it's like you've read them all. The same headlines reappear. Of course, they're using the news services and things like that, but even the same headlines written from different perspectives reappear in paper after paper after paper. And it's somewhat shocking when you survey that many papers on a daily basis to see how the coverage of the war has essentially driven all other conversation off the front page. War and war-related stories. And people say, well, Wilkin, you're just as bad. You're talking about the war. Actually, not. I mean, in defense of myself, who would say even Wilkin's talking about the war? No. What I'm talking about is, are we talking about the war from the pulpit? See, I understand the war driving all other headlines to page two or to the B section during times of war. I understand that. Because news is about what's happening now. News is about the most exciting thing and significant thing that's happening now. Is that what preaching is about? I'll have my thoughts on this as we wrap up Open Lines, but I'd like your thoughts as well. There's still 10 minutes left to call during Open Lines, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It seems, according to the research from the Pew Research Center for the People and the American Press, that those who are opposed to the war would like their clergy to speak out on it from the pulpit. Those who are for the war still hear their clergy talking about it from the pulpit. Did you? Irrespective of whether or not you're for or against the thing, did you hear about it from the pulpit yesterday? And I gave the example of this sermon, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Brian Gadawa joins us in the third hour. We're going to be talking about the Academy Awards, something that also got pushed out of the way and just simply gets honorable mention in the headlines on cable news channels. The only thing that really got any mention was who won and Michael Moore and his little speech that he gave. We'll have Brian Gadawa's reaction to Michael Moore's speech at the Academy Awards last night in the third hour of the program. Nancy's on the line. Nancy, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
What are your thoughts, Nancy?
Well, I heard a comment, I seen it on the news the other day about a clergy in Ohio that told his congregation that if they support the war, they should be coming to his church or something on that matter.
They should or shouldn't?
They should not.
Okay.
I don't know exactly. Somewhere in Canton, Ohio. I don't think the clergy has any right to tell the congregation what they should and should not believe as far as the war is concerned.
And why would that be? Let me just probe a little bit. I think I generally agree with you, Nancy, generally, but I want to probe a little bit deeper. Is it because the clergy have no right to speak on the war because they have no word of God on the war, or is it because they have no right to tell people what they should or shouldn't believe, period?
I've never believed that the church has the right to tell people how they should believe one way or another. They give us ideas. They give us their interpretation of the Bible. They give us ideas, and it's up to us to make our judgments.
So
I don't think they should tell us how to think.
So even with regard to, say, how one is saved, who the Savior is, you don't think the church has any right to say, this is what you ought to believe?
No, I don't.
Nancy, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. I did not expect that, I'll be quite honest. But that's what you get for asking questions. So Nancy says that the clergy have no right to be talking about the war or urging opinions about the war on anyone because the clergy have no right, the church has no right, she says, to urge their truth on the rest of us, period. So I really essentially what Nancy has said here, it sounds like, not to misrepresent her, but to simply extend the logic a bit, the church has no right to talk about, authoritatively, anything. Now, maybe your pastor didn't tell you what to believe or not believe about the war, but he talked about it. The subject of his sermon was, unlike Pastor Nairt, who called in, who said, the subject of my sermon was our captivation by sin, our preoccupation with sin, in the same way that the war coverage preoccupies us. Maybe your pastor actually talked about the war. That was the subject of the sermon, similar to the sermon that I shared with you. I got to be honest with you, folks. The sermon that I shared with you earlier is about the war. It's about a lot of good and true things regarding this war, just war theory. That this war is not found in the pages of biblical prophecy, that this war is not essentially about Christians and Muslims fighting one another. That this war is not because America has some sort of favored nation status. It makes the distinction between the right and the left-hand kingdom. All these things are true. They're good points. But this is a sermon about the war. The first caller is John, I believe. I'll tell you what, John, in the next 5 minutes or so, if you're still listening, give us a call back. I want to send you a free copy of God's No and God's Yes. Because John had asked the question about law and gospel in this sermon. Now, granted, I did not read the whole sermon, but I didn't leave anything significant out. I think I summarized it quite well. He asked whether or not the law was missing, and he thought he might have heard the gospel in the final paragraph of that sermon about the war. But I would say, in answer to his question, not only was the law missing, so was the gospel. In fact, really, to be quite honest with you folks, when the law, that is God's condemnation of our sin, is missing from a sermon, whatever passes for the gospel cannot be the gospel in the right sense of the word. It may be the right words. It may be the vocables that make up the message of the gospel. But preaching the gospel without the law is, as Jesus would say, casting pearls before swine. Those who do not know they need a Savior have no use for a Savior when he is presented. And that goes for Christians, too. That's why Christians need to hear law and gospel. We can't assume. And the sad thing is that this sermon about the war assumed not only the law, it appears, but it also assumed, sad to say, the gospel. The last paragraph talks about a peace with God that passes all understanding that we have because of Christ. But it doesn't tell us what that peace is or how it is because of Christ we have it. See, the gospel has a particular shape. It's not shaped like the word peace. It's not even shaped like the word forgiveness. It's one thing to say God forgives you your sins, but that yet is not the gospel. The gospel is how God has forgiven your sins, namely through the cross of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. It's a good treatise on good basic Christian primer lecture on the topic of war, addressing a timely issue, one might even say a relevant issue, this sermon. But it lacks both law and gospel. It belongs not in the pulpit, but elsewhere. You know, there's really nothing here that you couldn't get out of a Christian encyclopedia on, you know, theory, Christian theories on war, or Christian ideas on war, Christian thoughts on war. When people gather on Sunday morning, they are gathered by God for a very explicit purpose. Even if war is raging outside, even if the bombs are bursting in our skies, the people of God are still gathered together on Sunday morning to hear the message of our sin and its only solution in our Savior, Jesus Christ, that his obedience has been counted toward us because of his obedient death on the cross for us. That the life he lived for us. The death he died for us. And he has risen again that he might be our life and the guarantee of all the promises that God has made. Forgiveness, life, and salvation. And whatever good points a sermon may make about the war, what it may say, which we can agree or disagree, if it does not proclaim Christ and him crucified, it doesn't belong in the pulpit, no matter how relevant it may be. It's a good example of how, sad to say, in our churches today, we fall into the temptation of bending over backward to be so relevant that we actually make ourselves, in genuine, real terms, irrelevant. A sermon that can be right in almost all of its points, but fails to say what needs to be said to God's people when they are gathered around God's Word on a Sunday morning. in an effort to be relevant, it becomes irrelevant. It's relevant to issues of the war, but you know what, folks? The war is going to be over sooner or later. And what you believe about the war may win you an argument or put you in one side of a survey or the other, but it won't get you to heaven. I hesitate to say, but I will say anyway, that a sermon of this kind is, in my opinion, more dangerous than the propaganda spouted by Saddam Hussein last night on Iraqi television. He is taking the bully pulpit of the politician to talk about Allah and Allah's will and Allah's great blessing upon the Iraqis and how Allah has ensured them victory, and we all can see through this stuff. It is transparent. We can see right through it. And we say, that man is dangerous and his words are dangerous, and those words will inspire the Iraqis to kill more of our troops, or maybe they won't. Who knows? But we say, this is the kind of stuff that needs to stop. People are asking today, why didn't they bomb the television towers yet so that Saddam Hussein can't produce this kind of stuff and send it out over the cable news networks all over the world? But I dare say that a sermon that even for one Sunday lays aside Christ and Him crucified in all of its clarity. Christ gets honorable mention, and there's kind of the general hint, a hint at the gospel, peace with God, in there. Which, if you already know the gospel, or if you're inclined to fill in the gaps, maybe you can piece it together. But only tosses it in at the end as a closing paragraph. A sermon like that does far more harm than the diatribes of Saddam Hussein. Because it may, in fact, while it teaches rightly about the war, may, in fact, and does, in fact, say nothing about our sin and our Savior. That's what sermons are for, folks. It's really quite simple. And we should never give in to the temptation to either produce or to listen to these kind of things that attempted relevance ended up not only being irrelevant, but actually harmful to the people of God. Hell will be full of people who understand just war. Hell will be full of people who understand the right hand and the left hand kingdom. Hell will be full of people who know that this war isn't about Christians and Islam, who know that this war isn't in biblical prophecy. What they lack is Christ. What they need today and every Sunday from the pulpit is Christ and Him crucified. We'll be right back to talk with Brian Gadawa.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.